Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my great friend, Cody Frankel, and my fucking enemy for the next 45 minutes, Avery Zaretsky. We got a great show for you today because the three of us have a lot of different opinions about what the Rangers should do on Friday when the trade deadline hits at 3 p.m. We've been arguing about it now for a little over a week in our group text, and we haven't gotten the chance to talk about it on the mics, so we're happy to finally be recording live. And Cody, how you doing? I want to start with you. How's everything going? You good?
I'm pretty good, dude. What'd you say?
Griffin's looking really cute these days.
Dude, he is. He's a dream. He's the best. He'll never get to know his cousin Avery, that dumb fuck. But
It's great. It's great when we like talk shit and then you just post a picture of Griffin. It kind of lightens the mood a little bit.
And we'll talk shit. I'll post a picture of Griffin. Avery will like respond, be like, "Oh my god, so cute!"
Yeah. right after, like a little dumbass. Like,
yeah, we turn into little bitches once Griffin comes in the mix.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But Avery, how you doing? I know you hit Carbone last night. You didn't really watch the third Carbone's period. You're a Thorny fan.
No, I watched the whole game. I was on my phone. But yeah, I went to Carbone last night. I try to go at least a couple times a year. It is by far the best restaurant.
You got the penne vodka, obviously.
I've never been.
Spicy rigatoni.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
It's not even just, and I really want to get into the Rangers, but it's not even just the food. It's the service too. Like they refer to their waiters and waitresses as captains, and they just know how to take care of you to a T. There's a guy walking around with a wheel of cheese, dropping cheese on your plate. You're constantly getting refilled with water. You never have to feel like you need to look for your waiter and be like, "Can you help me with this?" Because they're always right where they need to be. So it is by far my favorite restaurant.
I'm gonna have to check it out. It's impossible to a reservation.
I've only went once, and I went in the Hamptons. They had a pop up.
Johnny, when you guys come down, I'll take you guys. I got a nice little plug there.
I'm gonna try to come in April, so I will hold you to that for sure.
Done.
Nothing's set in stone yet, but. Hopefully in April. But before we get into some Ranger stuff, because you know we want to get right into it, I do just want to read this quick ad from Cut. We've got a great new sponsor with them. I love betting against my friends and betting them on anything, whether it's sports games, who's fast. That's what Cut allows me to do. The Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus states. Cut has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments, no need for Venmo. So what should we bet on? Maybe Avery being wrong about the trade deadline. I don't know. Use our promo code BELIEVERANGERS. That's capital B, capital L, capital E, capital A, capital V, capital R in Rangers. One word, BELIEVERANGERS, for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget that promo code BELIEVERANGERS for a Cut. Put your money where your mouth is. Now let's get into some Rangers talk. Avery, do you want to start? Because I feel like this whole thing kind of starts with you or Cody. I don't know.
I have a good segue. Speaking of Carbone, Avery owes me a drink because to no one's surprise, Capo Caco did not score a goal.
I mean, it was just like a little friendly wager. I'd like to buy it for you in person though. Like when I saw you at the stadium series, it was genuine happiness. And ever since then, it's just been all downhill with this fucking trade talk.
I've woken up to text now, I think like 8 days straight in the group chat, and I wake up later than all you, even though I wake up at like 7:30.
We've been going early.
We've
been going at it early.
Yeah, early on in the day. Like the first text I see every day is from
Avery. Every single day, it's Avery's text, and it's like, this is the metrics of Capo Caco this week.
Seriously, get into it.
That's not true.
I think that around this time, there's always so much tension, and everybody's wondering what's going on. And before I get into the whole Capo Caco thing,
this is more than ever.
Yeah.
In my opinion, last year was just like Kane versus no Kane.
But I also feel like it's recency bias. Like we've been through this year after year after year. We've put our chips.
Well, Johnny hasn't, dude. He's a Devils fan.
He likes hockey more than the Rangers. That makes sense. Good job, Cody. Good point out. That was a good one. Point for you. But I really want to preface this with saying that everybody has a price. And I think that no matter who, I don't really like to say the word untouchable. You obviously look at your top guys as guys you don't want to get rid of. But if a guy calls and you don't know what happens, nobody could be a fly on the wall in these conversations. But every single player in the league has a price. And if somebody calls and is willing to pay for a guy and you feel like it's the right fit to send them to a different place to get assets, you 100% have to do it. Now, when it comes to the case of Kaapo Kakko, I think there's a few players that I would trade him for that were being talked about right now, like a Gensel, like a Buchnevich, and who's the third guy?
Frank Vetrano.
No. I'll get into that.
Alex Tuch, that's probably off
the Alex table. Tuch, yes. Alex Tuch is another one.
No Casey Mittelstadt?
Who has been rumored. Yeah, but there was no rumors for Mittelstadt. So, but I do want to get into it.
Not the Rangers.
Yeah. I do want to get into it. This all sparked with the Frank Vetrano, Adam Henrique rumors that Verbeek was at the Garden scouting the Rangers. Kakko was obviously on the first line. And it sparked the debate, would it be worth sending Kakko for Vetrano? And listen, I love Frank. I thought he was a very effective player in New York, and I think that he's overachieving this year. But we got a really good player for a fourth-round pick when he came to New York, and he's definitely worth more now. He's having the best career, the best season of his career. Now, if you go and look at the Rangers' problems right now, and it's been an ongoing problem for the past maybe 3 to 5 years.
Since they traded Buchnevich away.
Yes. And the fact that this team is not good 5-on-5. They have never been a good 5-on-5 team in the past, like I said, 3 to 5 years. Now, you want to look at 5v5 stats between Frank Vetrano and Kaapo Kakko. Kakko, at 23 years old, since Vetrano left the Rangers, 123 games played, 25 goals, 23 assists, 48 points. Vetrano, 20 more games played, 33 goals, 27 assists, 60 points. So 12 more points. 6 years older, even at 5v5. So I'm just saying, like, if you think that you should trade a guy who's completely younger, who's extremely effective in the D zone, helps this team 5v5 more than you think, considering that you, when you look at the numbers, right? When Kakko plays for this team, the team is 29-8-3 versus when he does not play with this team, 11-10-1. I mean, those stats.
You really believe that's all because of him?
Well, when you look at the numbers, I see
those are staggering numbers, Johnny. And when you look at a team who's really bad at 5v5 hockey, it might be, Johnny.
What do you make of the Alexi Lafreniere 15-0-1 record when he scores a goal? You think just because he scores, the Rangers are going to win that night, or is it just a coincidence?
No, but I think that they both have positive impacts in other ways.
All right, let me ask you this: gun to your head, hypothetical gun to your head.
Okay.
Kakko gets that scoring chance last night. Who would you rather have the puck on their stick? Kakko in that position or Frank Vetrano in that position? Who do you trust more to score the goal?
I mean,
can't even say it with a straight face.
If you say Kakko, you're just, you know, come on.
Yeah, I mean, all right. So, all right, let's.
Bro, yeah, they need a fucking finisher.
Can I just say something? You're talking about staggering numbers. The numbers I see are 7-4-11 points in 41 games. And yes, you can be effective without being a point scorer, no problem. But yes, I think it's very abundant that this team needs a scorer. If you're putting a guy on the first line, you're not putting him there to just be effective without producing points. Like, it has to translate. And listen, I get Kakko's a young kid. Totally. He's a young dude. Like, you know, we've said many times, I think on this show as well, most players break out around age, you know, 24 to 26. So I get it, but I haven't seen anything from him showing me or indicating to me that he's going to break out. Did Frank Vetrano break out 5 years later? Sure. But we're in a championship window right now. We have maybe 3 years, and we don't have time to potentially wait for Kakko to break out.
I understand.
I want to say something here quick, Avery. I just want to jump. I'm actually going to side with you here, Avery, because it's not true that we never seen anything from Kakko. In the preseason, we were all on board that Kakko was a 60-point guy this year. He looked incredible in the preseason, and then for whatever reason, the start of the year did not go his way. I think he had like 3 points in 19 games.
20.
But when you listen back to our episodes, like, and you watch Kakko in the preseason, we were hyping up Kakko and not talking about Lafreniere at all. Like, it was Kakko's year to break out, and the points haven't been there, but to Avery's point as well, he's been way more effective on the third line than he has been on the first line, because Kaapo Kakko is a guy that needs to be a player. He needs to be a driver on the line he's on. And when he plays with anyone else, he defers to them. It happened with Panarin last year, and it's happened with Zibanejad and Kreider you know, this year and a little bit of last year as well. But here's what, and I will let you speak, Avery, I promise. But here's what I'm going to say is that I feel like a lot of the argument right now is, do you believe in this core to win a Stanley Cup? Or is it just, here's what we got and we got to make it work? If you don't actually believe in the core, then keep Kako. But if you're willing to go for it with what we've got, that's why I think you have to get rid of him, because Artemi Panarin's contract ends in 2 years from now. He has two more full seasons after this, and I think that's when this window shuts, and that's when this team is going to look completely different. So until that happens, you have to do what you can to win a Stanley Cup. You have to.
But and going back to that scenario where you brought up, I just think it's an unfair scenario, because I think that the Rangers still need to address the first right wing. I'm not saying Kako's that guy. He's not. Yeah. I don't think at the end of this trade deadline, he's going to be in that position. But having him in the lineup in the third line slot has been perfect for this team. They need to be good 5v5 defensively. And he's been I think he's been more than what we could ask for in that scenario. Now, is he not the goal scorer? Is he not the playmaker that we're looking for right now? No. But can he be? Absolutely. And I understand you talking about, oh, you want to wait, you want to wait. You don't want to wait. But the fact of the matter is that you can go out and get a top-line winger without forging Kaapo Kakko. You do not need to get rid of him. Now, if Pittsburgh calls and says the contingency on sending Jake Guentzel is Kaapo Kakko, I think anybody in their right mind would drive him to the airport. But you want to think about a guy like Frank Vatrano. That's just not the answer. The Rangers could look other places. You just saw Anthony Mantha, who clearly could fit on a first line on any team, go for a second round and a fourth round pick. Like, mm-hmm. and then you go to the stats of Kaapo versus Vatrano again, right?
No term.
And shout out to, well, pretty much every single guy is going to get no term. You're going to get Vatrano one more year. Term. You're going to get one more year of Vatrano, who's overperforming again.
But you don't know that, though. You don't know that.
You do know that. You do. I mean, basically, okay, here's a good, and shout out to my guy, Rangers Muse. He's one of the best.
He's stat great. Guys. He's great.
And he agrees with me, and he gave me some great stats, and I'm going to read them out, and then Cody, I'll let you talk. Frank Vatrano did not have his first 40-point season until age 29. He also did not have his first 15-plus goal season until age 25. He never had a 20-plus assist season, and he also never had a 35-plus even strength points in a season. Kaapo Kakko did that all last year. So to just think that he can't do that maybe in the playoffs, like, he just has to be put in the right position. You can't just give up on a guy because, and we talked about this with Don LaGreca. How many times can you forge?
But what's the right position? What's the right position to put him in?
How many times can you forge your future? It's so hard to win. It is extremely hard. It's harder than ever to win the Stanley Cup in the NHL. You can't keep forging your future for a chance to win. Now, I think you need to put yourself in the best position, but it doesn't mean trading an NHL player. You can do it without that.
Yeah, but dude, there's zero indication that Kakko is going to be part of this future. I mean, like, what? Aside from last year aside, sure.
There's complete indication. Chris Drury's completely expressed that he's not getting rid of him unless there's a significant offer.
He signed for one more year. There's no indication
he's an RFA at the end of this year.
What?
He's an RFA at the end of this year.
Yeah, but he's, I mean, he'll get.
But it was the same exact way with Lafreniere.
What do you mean?
They didn't give him a mega deal. There was no this was,
yeah,
like,
he's proved himself this year.
They both got bridge deals.
This year he did, but before he got his contract, he wasn't proven. There was still a lot of talk.
The narrative going into the season was that it's time for Alexi Lafreniere and Kaapo Kakko to sink or swim.
Yeah.
One has swam.
And you think Kaapo Kakko's sinking at 23 years old?
I don't think he's sinking at 23 years old, but if you ask me if I can get a 30-goal scorer now versus a 30-goal scorer in maybe 3 or 4 years, I'd rather take the goal scorer now because I think this window is shutting more than it's opening. And you look at Chris Kreider and Artemi Panarin, both 32 years old. You look at Trocheck and Zibanejad, both 30 years old. Foxy's 26, Igor's 28. Like, in 3 years from now, this team is completely different. Gabe Perreault is probably going to be the first line center. At least we'd hope he would. And Mika and Trocheck will still be here.
Mika's going to be the 3C.
This team is not going to be the same in 3 years from now. And that's why I'm saying this patience thing with Kakko is like, what are we talking about? Because I think if you look at the future, it's you know, maybe Keandre, maybe Foxy, maybe Othman, maybe Perreault. And Lafreniere and whatnot. But this team is going to look completely different 3 years from now.
But there's no reason to forge, expense one of our good players who's really helping depth wise for a 5v5 team that is terrible to help out Amika Zibanejad.
You know what else is terrible?
We're paying an 8.5.
You know what else is terrible, Avery? The fucking power play is 23rd since Kako came back from injury. Not that he had anything to do with that. You know, he doesn't really play a lot of power play.
He doesn't play on the power play.
No, I know. I'm not blaming that. It has nothing to do with Kako, but everyone also saying that, like, whoa, Frank Vatrano is only going to come and play 5-on-5. He's not going to get any power play time. Maybe he mixes it up on the power play. Maybe they put him on the power play knowing how good he is on the power play. The Rangers power play since January 14th is at a 17%, where at the start of the year, they were at like a high 20s, low 30s percentage. And if their power play isn't clicking and they're not playing 5-on-5, where the fuck are they going in the playoffs? Where?
Yeah, I understand, but the power play is just gonna, the power play is always going to be what it is. Like, it's either going to get hot or it's not. But the glaring subject is that Mika Zibanejad has 5v5 goals. You're going to bring in a guy and trade a guy who only has 4 less 5v5 goals. Like, why?
But dude, he's on the fucking Ducks, bro. He's on the Ducks. Imagine what he's going to do.
Imagine
what he's going to do when he has Kreider and Mika passing.
That should mean he should have more. He should have more than that. He's on the Ducks.
All right. Also, here's just like my last statement, because I think we should get into some fan questions while all of us are here, because there's going to be a lot about it.
Yeah.
But my last statement on the subject is, I'm not going to say Frank Vatrano is going to be the one guy to save this team and win a Stanley Cup. I still think the Rangers need like 3 pieces. Like, I think I want Lundberg. But I think to have a guy that is a known finisher and a guy that is a shoot first guy and a guy who plays on the inside, as opposed to Kako, who is mostly a perimeter player, I think I'm willing to live with what Vatrano lives or what Vatrano brings, excuse me. And I think his shoot first mentality, his shot in general, which is one of the best in the NHL, I think is more valuable than what Kako adds right now. Kako doesn't kill penalties. He doesn't get power play time. Yes, he's good at possessing the puck at 5-on-5, but everyone is like foaming at the mouth over this reverse hit he had against Florida. He turned the fucking puck over right after he made the play. Like, no one's talking about that. Yeah, he made a great reverse hit, but he lost the puck. Like, it's just, and I don't want to disrespect Kaapo Kakko. He's a great kid. He's a good player. He's effective on the third line. But I think, I don't know if he elevates this team.
He doesn't do it for me. He doesn't do it for me. And I think throwing, you know, Avery, I think you're throwing around the term a little too loosely, like forging our future. We would be. No, but listen.
All right. So let's just say you trade Kaapo Kakko for Frank Vatrano. Then you just create another glaring hole in the third line, which we've struggled with year after year after year, is finding a good bottom six. And we've also struggled with the fact that our top line doesn't produce in the playoffs as much as they should. It all stems from even strength hockey. And why would we remove ourselves from another great even strength hockey player to get a guy who's just having produce.
Because the lack of production makes him produce.
He could be great, but if he's not producing,
it's not about the points, though. Think about all the unsung heroes on the Vegas team on their bottom six.
It's a little about the points.
Is it?
I mean, William Karlsson was a third liner. You think
he had like 75 points the year Vegas won?
Dude, guys can be more effective just because they're not getting points. You have to understand that it's a lot more than just looking at the sheet and seeing what they did during the game. There's plays that Kaapo Kakko is making that are significant.
No, I was saying, look at Alex Wennberg, dude. He's not a point merchant. He's not a monster point producer, but he's one of the most effective two-way forwards in the game, and he locks down other players, top offensive players. Like, he's a guy who can come in, and yes, this is my pitch for you, Alex. But listen, he's a guy who can come in on the third line. He's not going to produce points every night, but he's a guy who can lock down top players on the other
team. Bro, you're talking about a guy who has the same amount of even strength goals as Kakko. Just saying.
Dude. Okay.
I mean, he does.
That wasn't really the best argument, Cody.
Okay.
But I just think, like,
he does everything well. Kako does
replaceable. I think it's replaceable.
I also think this argument's dumb because Chris Drury would never do this. He would never do this.
Do what?
Trade Kaapo Kakko for Frank Vatrano.
I don't think it'd be a one for one. I don't really want Adam Henrique. Like, everyone's talking about Adam Henrique. Adam Henrique had one good playoff run 12 years ago.
Does not do it for me.
I also love it. I love Wennberg. We've been linked to him, and I think it's going to happen. I think he's like the opposite.
Can I just jump in here and remove myself from this? Because I never said it has to be Kako for Vetrano ever. All I was saying is I'm not going to mortgage our potential window to win a championship for Kaapo Kakko. So if there is a player who can come in here and kick ass for this team who fits the mold very well, I would do that trade in before I can count to three. That's all I'm saying.
I know I said everybody has a price. I think the where this argument started was that you said he was completely on the table for a Frank Vetrano trade.
No, that's Johnny where, said that. Not
I agree. I think he is completely on the table for a Frank Vetrano trade.
Yes.
I don't think he's on the table for a rental.
That's where we don't see eye to eye, and I know that most people probably feel the same way.
I don't think he's on the table for a rental, but I think Kako on the third line is replaceable. I do. And I think if you bring in another third line center, you move Brodzinski maybe over to the right wing or have Jimmy Vesey play third line right wing, I think that's a fine third line. Let's talk
fucking trades. Let's go.
Well, should we just go into the fan questions?
Yeah, but first I have a question for you guys before we go into fan questions. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad we all got that out because I do enjoy having a.
And listen, I think it's a two-sided argument. I think everyone has their own opinion on it, and I don't think anyone's wrong for thinking it.
And you want to know? You want to know who's right?
Who?
It's going to be up to Kaapo Kakko if he proves us wrong or right, and that's it.
Well, the only thing about the argument that I don't agree with is the people who think like there's a future to build toward. They're not building a dynasty like. In like
who's the Rangers?
Do you not agree that in 3 years from now, like this team is.
Are you talking about the Rangers?
Yeah.
No. They're going all in, and then in 3 years, it's going to be like a retool, and we're going to have to restart a little bit. Like they're going for their one shot to win one cup. It's not going to be like a Tampa situation. Like they probably have 3 years. I think the people saying 2 years is a little much. I think they probably have 3 years and. You know, after that, right? Like once Panarin's contract's up, if you can't re-up him and, you know, players are going to start to leave, things are going to start to change. Mika's going to be like 34. Kreider,
it solely rides on the back of the guys who are making the most money. They need to perform. Like we can't talk about mortgaging guys who are on team-friendly deals who are effective to help out the guys we're paying the most money. I think that's where we see the biggest issue.
But those guys that are making the most money, they're not movable. So you're stuck with them. What are you going to do? You have to adjust somehow.
Yeah, but you don't have to give up NHL ready guys. You can move picks. You don't have to give up a guy like Kako who last season had the same amount of points as 22-year-old Pavel Buchnevich did. Like
I'm not saying he has to go. I'm just saying I'm willing to let him go. This isn't like a trade Kako argument.
I said everybody has a price. I feel the same way, but it's like
here's the thing: everybody has a price, but your price, is different from ours. So
in a dream world, they have Kako, Vetrano, and Winberg, and I'd be so fucking thrilled with that.
Yeah, I agree, and I also think it's very possible that happens.
Well, maybe. You better apologize then to Alex because you just shit talked him.
Alex Winberg?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I love him. I think he'd be a great fit.
All right, good. Good. You better love him. But all right.
I don't want to say he's going to be a Ranger, but like it feels like it's going to happen.
It feels like it. Yeah.
It's sure. Yeah.
All right. Cody's been horny for this question for 3 days.
Yeah. So please. I just want to talk about this real quick, right? So, like, obviously, trades are coming in the next 3-4 days, and guys in the top nine are going to shift down possibly to the fourth line. You know, some of those third, like Brodzi might move to the fourth line. What do you do in terms of Rempe? Like Rempe's literally been a change of pace player who's like provided a jolt to this team, and we might not win every game, right? Like we lost against the Panthers, we lost against the Leafs, but like this guy's making his presence known, and I feel like he's the type of guy who gives you an edge in a playoff series, and I really don't want them to. I want them to let this kid like give him a shot in the playoffs. Like I would prefer. I personally would move off like. Edstrom, Gaudreau, or VC before I'm moving off Rempe.
VC
dude. In terms of effectiveness in like getting the team going, I mean,
yeah, but VC kills penalties. He does so many other things. Like you're undervaluing Jimmy VC.
Dude, VC has been a fantastic contract for Merce. I'm not undervaluing him. I'm just saying, to me. Rempe seems like the guy who literally can change a playoff series or a game, a big game that and gives you that jolt. So I'm just saying, I really hope they're considering keeping him up.
I agree. I mean, I said it last night. I said watching the Panther game, I, like, you know, Avery was like, you're wrong, whatever. But I said, if you're playing Florida, like, I'd rather Rempe in there than Kako. Like,
that's
it's the matchup. It's the matchup. Against Florida, you need to have the fucking physical presence. And honestly, I was just tweeting back and forth with Thomas Hickey, former New York Islander defenseman. Rempe's a good player for his size. And when you're a defenseman in the NHL going back to retrieve a puck and you know he's going to hit you, you think two or three times before you make a play. Like, you know, you saw Brandon Montour, you saw Aaron Ekblad, like, you know, kind of checking themselves before they made a play with Rempe on their back. Like, yeah, I still
You're going to health bomb a Kako over a Brodzinski or a Vizi?
I just meant between the two players. I wouldn't pick Kako over anyone else. I'm just saying.
Johnny fucking hates Kako, dude.
Those two, I don't think Kako plays physically at all. I know we had that reverse hit. He doesn't go out and throw the body, really. I think Rempe
Johnny
is more effective.
Johnny hates Kako, bro.
Rempe is more effective to me in a physical series like that. Any other team in the Eastern Conference, I wouldn't say the same thing about. But with Florida, I think you have to try to out like.
They're so fast, dude.
I like Rempe a lot. I compared it. Someone asked me how I felt about the whole situation. I kind of compared it to, like, you remember those hoverboards that were, like, super popular? You know what I'm talking about? The ones like where you could ride around the house. And they were really fun for a lot of fun at first. But then they, you know, now they just kind of sit around the house and you don't really ride
them
anymore.
That's how you compared it?
Yeah, I just, you know.
Yeah, that was a bad one, Avery.
No, he was, you know, he's fun at first, but I don't know.
He's been fun the whole time. He's been up. Yeah. He's been fun every single game. He's literally been fun every single game.
I don't know. I don't think, like.
You're saying his fun's going to wear off. I get what you're trying to say.
Yeah, I don't think he gets us through to the finals like he did.
What if he does? What if he does? All right, let's go into fan questions. I know I know Avery has to jump at like 20. So
I hope so.
A lot of them are honestly like what we already talked about, but you know, I'll say the first one is from Anthony Maglino. He said, "What's up, boys? No questions, just appreciate you guys." So that's a nice little shout out. We appreciate
that. That was nice.
All right, obviously this one's going to be, you know, pretty common, but can a trade save the Kreider Zibanejad line?
Yeah, it can. I don't know. But it also comes from within. Like, Mika needs to get his head out of his ass. He's been playing fucking terrible, and, you know, he's been underperforming all season, and I know his stats can be a little skewed, but, dude, if you look at the last 10 games, I mean, I feel like his play is just, like, he's just not trying. Like since when is he a tipping guy? Okay. He's the guy on the point who slaps the shit out of the puck and hits one timers. Like, since when is he this tipping guy that's trying to get, like, come on. I don't know. He's pissing me off.
I love Mika. I always have, but it's becoming hard to defend at this point.
I mean, me too, dude. Like, I have a $300 jersey. That's doing well for me. It's collecting dust on it this year.
I mean, and going back to the Capo Caco argument, he has the same amount of.
Avery just has all this shit written down.
he has the same amount of 5v5 goals as Capo Caco in over 300 extra minutes of time on ice.
Yeah.
Well, nobody's arguing that Mika literally sucks this year. I don't think anybody
I think everybody feels the same way. I'm just saying, like, something needs to happen. But it's crazy that. We need to go get someone to do that. Like, he should just be able to do it.
I mean, he's also a guy you need to get right for the playoffs. Like, if Mika's not right for the playoffs, you're going to have when every other good team, you're playing the Panthers, you're playing the Leafs, you're playing the Bruins, when they have all their top guys performing and you have one slacking, that's what makes or breaks a playoff series. So,
This might be a better question to ask post deadline, but I kind of want to ask it right now while it's in my mind. I had a conversation about this the other day, and I can't really say with who, but what do you think happens if the Rangers lose in the first round this year?
They're going to, I think they'll seriously.
I honestly don't even know.
Like, do you guys honestly believe this core can get it done? I do. I really do.
But I do as well. I think they need two pieces. And I've said this, I've preached this all year. I think they're two pieces away. I think they can get both of those pieces at the deadline, but it has to be the right fits. Like, I think Wennberg is a perfect fit for what this team needs. Another guy, Casey Mittelstadt, I mean, he'll cost a lot more. I don't know if Pagulas would ever trade him to us, but, like, there's certain players that I think fit the mold of this team that will really help bring them over the edge. And I think you know, hitting on one of these couple trades you're going to make is like fine, but I don't know if that gets the job done. I really think they need to hit on both their right winger and their center. Like, I think both of them need to be perfect fits for the Rangers. And then I think, yes, they can get the job done.
Also, what did you guys, I don't know if you guys saw my tweet today about someone was like comparing Kako to Kreider at 5-on-5. And I said,
Avery,
what Kreider does in the power play to me outweighs any lack of production at 5-on-5. I mean, Chris Kreider has become one of the biggest power play threats in the entire NHL. You look back to the last 3 years, he's got 46 power play goals since 21-22, just third most in the NHL, only behind Sam Reinhart and Leon Draisaitl. And, you know, I think he's the guy, like, you can rely on come playoff time to score goals, right? Like, yeah. I don't know if, like, anyone that bashes Kreider at 5-on-5, while it might be warranted, what he's done in the power play, I think, has earned him a little more respect. Not to take it easy at 5-on-5, but, you know, maybe just accept that he might not be the best 5-on-5 player.
I think that's fair. Am I wrong for thinking that? Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I mean, as he gets older, he's not going to be as fast as he was. And, yeah, it goes back to the whole argument that we started. It's just like the glaring issue on this team is 5v5 hockey. Like, it just needs to get better. It hasn't.
It's also
hasn't,
the power play lately too.
It hasn't been good at all. And
again,
it's weird. It's weird because when this team plays good 5v5 hockey, we lose. And when we don't, when we get dominated in a lot of games, we rely heavily on our goaltending. And it's been that way for the longest time. And when we win, we might get outplayed, but it's because we have the better goaltender, and we just need to get better at even strength hockey. Like, we're just not going to be the team that we want to see in June if we aren't good at 5v5.
Is there somebody that comes to your mind that we can trade for that gets us there?
Yeah, his name is Jake Guentzel, but I don't see a world where Pittsburgh is willing to give.
Pittsburgh does not trade with the New York Rangers. I think the last trade they made was like a baby trade in like 2009. And before that, I'm pretty sure the last trade we've made with Pittsburgh was literally 25 years ago in like 2001.
I think it was one more recent than that.
No, I'm telling you, man, 2009 really? Was the last one. And it was
2009.
Never heard anyone say 2009 like that.
Oh, shut the fuck up. They just do not deal to us. That's it.
Where can I find, like, I'm trying to find the Rangers shots against over the last few games. Like, that's another thing too. Everyone talks about the defensive, whatever. This guy's good defensively, 5-on-5. The Rangers won 10 straight games. They allowed 40 plus shots in 5 straight games. Like, that is not a recipe to win in the playoffs. And I don't care who has good defensive metrics or whatever, one player doesn't prevent you from not getting 40 shots on goal. You know what I mean? Like, there still are a lot of holes in this team despite the success they've had. And while Igor has played a lot better as of late, like, that's going to be a challenge come playoff time too. Like,
they've got to fix some shit. They've got to fix some shit.
They've got a lot to work on. They do.
Like, the crazy thing is, right? Like, they just came off two like Titan-like games that they went to war both games against the Leafs and Panthers, and they lost both games. But, you know, they could have won either one of those games. Like, you know, that third goal that the Panthers scored on us was an absolute softie pretty much from the point by Bromberg. And, you know, it's like, what are you looking at, Johnny?
Were you saying Bromberg as a joke?
As Lomberg.
Lomberg. Were you saying that as a joke?
That's his nickname, bro.
No, it's not.
I'm pretty sure it is.
No. I've never heard that in my life, but continue.
Okay. Anyways, I thought that was his nickname. I thought that was the thing.
I don't think I've ever heard one. All right.
Okay. Anyways, so when he scored from the point, okay, that was a softie. And I feel like that could have went either way. And, you know, you see how they're playing against these good teams, and they're playing pretty well, and they still have a lot of problems to fix right now. So I feel like if they fix, then they're going to be in a really good spot. They just need to figure this shit out.
Oh, you know, what a hot take by Cody. If they figure out their problems, they'll be in a good spot.
Johnny, I'm going to fucking come over to Brooklyn, dude. And
that was just a waste of fucking 2 minutes of talking.
Oh, my
God. No shit. If they figure out their problems.
Dude, how does, like, Mantha, man, he's so good. That was it. I still can't get over that. They retained 50%, and they did was trade a second and a fourth. for a guy who's Johnny.
Let's do another two questions for Avery to go.
Johnny.
Yeah.
Fuck you. All right. Yep. Let's go.
This one's a fun one, different one. Benjamin Epple, top three places for a slice in New York City.
Oh, that's easy. It's John's Obliquer, Prince Street, and the third one's tough.
Slices or pies? Slices or pies?
John's Obliquer, just like the regular, not like the John's on Bleecker Street. It's John's of Bleecker Street. Mm-hmm. You know the difference. Oh, mm-hmm. And then yeah, Prince Street, the Prince pepperoni, Street's
the best. Yeah.
Yep. And then Lucali, which is really hard to get into, but it's.
I think Lucali is overrated. I had it.
Oh, come on!
I didn't love it.
Did you go there?
I went there. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
I had this place recently, something G's, Pauly G's, pretty good. I live in Brooklyn. I go to the Brooklyn spots. So like Linda Street is my favorite. I think it's the best. Finney and like Prince Street are my three.
Yeah.
Cody.
Have you been to John's?
John's is amazing.
Yeah, I've been to John's, but I like those two places better.
John's is amazing. Patsy's is really good. I've actually never had Prince Street.
Prince Street's so good, dude. It's so good.
Yeah. My favorite place to get a pie is Emmy Squared. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Next question, Mike_D92. What's up?
That's a good question.
Yeah, good question. We like the different ones.
I love food.
Mike_D92. If the Rangers finish first in the Metro, who could be their biggest first round threat? Right now it looks like it's Tampa.
Tampa,
or
easy.
But if the Islanders find a way to sneak 0% in and they play chance. No, I'm not saying it's a threat, but if they play each other in the first round, that'd be fucking sick. I would love that.
I would love playing Tampa way more because I want a revenge tour. I want to give other teams the pain that they've given me. So I want Tampa to sneak in. I want the Devils to figure their shit out and sneak in. I just want all the smoke.
Yo, Avery. You got to beat the best to win. So
Avery, I have a question for you.
I'm afraid of everybody. Sorry.
I'm trying to think of like the perfect way to ask this. What would make you, which one would make you feel like better or worse? I don't know if I'm wording this correctly, but a Capo Caco overtime goal, like how good that would make you feel, or how bad would a Patrick Kane,
like 12 years old.
How bad would a Patrick Kane overtime goal in the playoffs make you feel? Like which one is a higher feeling? Like are you happier with Caco more pissed?
Caco. It's Caco, obviously.
Not more pissed if Kane scores?
Are you saying like scores against us?
Yes, I'm saying like, are you more pissed or happy? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like the level of happiness versus level
happy,
of anger.
Oh, happy.
Johnny
happy.
Phrased that like an 11-year-old.
I know. I tried to figure that one out. It was tough.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Yeah. And yeah,
just say which one gives you all the feels.
But it's a different feel.
I would say losses wear off faster now that I'm a little bit older versus like the high of like a Rangers win, like the stadium series.
Let's say
win.
It's like a pivotal game 5, 2-2 series. Capo scores the winning goal versus Kane scores the winning goal.
Oh, I'm more confident that the Rangers come back in the next game. So I'd be much happier if the Rangers went up and like Caco. Oh my God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't get me going. I'm going out to dinner. I don't want to have to change my pants, brother.
That would kill this fan base if Patrick Kane scored an overtime playoff goal like at MSG. Like,
yeah, you probably wouldn't hear from me again, but yeah.
Yeah, that'd be tough. That'd be tough. Mm-hmm.
Well, there is a good chance we played Detroit, so we'll see.
I know. That's why
right?
I'm
asking. As of right now, it's Rangers-Detroit in round one.
We got a glaring hole in the one right wing position. I wonder who could have been there.
Tarasenko? I agree.
No. Come on, man. 88.
I feel like we basically hit on everything, but here's the last thing I guess we can do here. Thoughts on the Quickie signing. Happy
Great.
For him, well deserved. Would love to see him win a cup.
Why
here.
Would we be mad about that signing?
Yeah.
It was funny when the Henrique stuff came up. I was like, man, if they get Henrique too, like it feels like destiny that we got these two guys just to bring it. Like, I actually think Quick being in New York could be our destiny. Like, it's just the full circle of him being one of the greatest American goaltenders ever and then beating the Rangers in the Stanley Cup, beating his favorite team growing up in the Stanley Cup, and then coming back at the end of his career, retiring, just holding the Stanley Cup in his hands.
All right. And one last one to end the episode, because I don't think we're going to talk about anything after.
I have one too for you guys.
All right, let me just do this one from Rami Lavi. Can you each give a prediction of the 12 forwards line by line for game one of the playoffs?
It's going to take too long.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I got to go in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's fine. So let me – all right, we'll save that one. Let me ask my question.
All right, we'll save it for post-deadline, I guess.
Yeah, we'll save that for post-deadline.
Sorry, Rami.
All right. Love you.
One name that is a New York Ranger on Friday – that we have not talked about before.
I mean, Cody, you talked
like
about
in recency or like total, like everywhere, like the whole, like the last year.
I would say
a dark horse could be like Duclair, and like we haven't really talked about him recently.
Okay.
No, we haven't. That's a good question. I feel like we talked about most people. Who's even like still out there?
Literally everybody like, except three.
Not going to be like, maybe, I mean, we haven't talked about him, I guess, today, but like maybe Lawton. But
do you think Philly would move him to us?
I'll tell you what, Tuck was out of the woodwork. That, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that's fake, but if that's I want that boy Alex Tuck, brother.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. I think it was shot down already, though.
Was it?
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm going to say, who did I say before just now? I said Lawton.
Yeah.
Dude, okay, here's one out of the blue. I'll say Brandon Duhame.
I don't even know who that is. He's a younger
player, cheap cap hit, you know, kind of like that third line grind style, you know, penalty killer, good for the bottom six. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a guy maybe I'll just throw out there that could be a random player. He's got that, like, you know, tough mentality and in your face style, which I think the Rangers could always use more of. And I'll say Brandon Duhame.
Okay. I like that. Yeah, I think we'll see, man. It's going to be we're not going to record until the fact that the Rangers aren't playing until
is absurd. This whoever like made it, these schedules.
I kind of like it.
I do like it. There's so much anticipation.
Devils allowed the first goal again.
Dude, they're down 2-0.
2-0 already?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, boy.
It's fun to watch.
They're probably cheering. Are they cheering higher, Lindy? Oh, it's 2-1. Jack, you just scored.
So I want it on record right now because I know Avery has to leave. Would you be upset if this team has Adam Henrique as their 3C?
No.
I don't think the hype is warranted, though. Like, I don't think Adam Henrique's just like playoff killer. You know, he's played 28 playoff games. 24 of them came in that 2012 run. He didn't have any points the next time he was in the playoffs in 2017-18. And, he's a good depth guy, but he's not like – you know, some crazy. I'd rather Vetrano over Henrique, obviously.
Johnny. We fucking know, bro.
Friend of the show, dude. Friend of the show.
I love Frank Vetrano. Let me say that water? Before I go. I love Frank Vetrano. I'd want him back. Capo Caco. Okay. Bye, guys. All right.
Everyone have a great night. Thank you all for listening. We love you guys. We'll talk to you. We'll probably record what, Sunday?
Yep.
Yeah.
LFGR, baby.
Well, the Rangers play Saturday.
I'm going to be in Tampa, but I'll bring my stuff. I'm actually going to the Lightning game on Saturday.
Oh, sick. All right. Or we can record after the Devils game Monday if you want.
Okay.
Why after the Devils game, bro? No, I'm kidding. I know we play them. Relax. Johnny was about to.
You didn't know that. You liar.
Say it again, Cody, so we can end it.
All right. LFGR, baby.